Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back, Fedra. Glad to have you on board.
Back from parts unknown.
Yes, there was a little bit of a hiatus, but now I'm moved in and settled in, so I feel like I'm a little behind on everything in film and TV, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And what have you been up to? Anything? I guess you've been mostly settling in to your new place, but you haven't seen much, right? You've just been busy working and...
Yeah, just doing the whole working and unpacking right now.
Yeah, I'll get to a point where, you know, again, that'll all be behind you and then you could just relax and, you know, just watch some fun stuff or enjoy yourself.
Heck, we've been in the new house in over a year and we're still boxes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm yawning a little bit. Anyway, so on tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're mostly going to go over some news. The only thing I was going to say is I was watching The Dark Knight Returns, the animated movie, just before. And I still like that movie. I think it's a really good representation of the comic book. I haven't really read the comic book in a while, but it's fairly accurate, I would say.
I thought it was pretty accurate. It's just not my favorite story, but I thought it was pretty accurate to the book.
Yeah, you know, and Peter Weller, I think he does a really good Batman, an older Batman. You know, I forget who did the Joker. It's not the greatest, but I don't think Mark Hamill is the greatest either. It's hard to basically pinpoint someone that's really, really a great Joker. But other than live action ones like Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson.
I don't know. When it's the same way, when I read Batman, I hear Kevin Conroy and I hear Mark Hamill.
Oh, well, you suck then. I mean, I don't mind
Conroy. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jack on that. Those are the two that I hear.
I think he gets way too much credit for his performance as the Joker. And to me, he just sounds like Luke Skywalker or Mark Hamill. Just being goofy, like on...
You don't think at all, but okay.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, he does, like, at least from what I remember, he sounds squeaky. Like, when Joker would get kind of hysterical, he would be squeaky in his voice. That's not Luke Skywalker.
I don't know. I want to go to Tosche Station. But, you know.
I just recognize his voice too much, I think. Did Jack just fall off his chair?
I think so.
No? Why?
Okay, because...
Oh, my camera slipped. Because
oh, okay.
I said you were talking earlier. There we go.
Yeah, because I didn't see you. Like, you were there for a second, and all of a sudden I looked away and you were gone.
Ah, come on, get back on
there. But anyway, it's a...
Talk amongst yourselves.
No, it's a great movie. I really enjoy it. Although it is kind of dark in places where I think they could have toned it down a little bit. But it is The Dark Knight, too. And I was telling some of the guys from England that, you know, I'm really, well, now that I got into this whole statue thing, I'm starting to collect more.
No, don't do it.
I'm stepping into dangerous territory.
I'm telling you, don't. It's a dark, dark slope.
I just want to get, and I know it's my probably going to be a famous last word. I just want to get one more thing. but no, I've been looking at prints because you got a print. You got a couple Alex Ross prints, and do you have any other prints? Signed by somebody?
Yeah, I have behind me the Daredevil one with Spider-Man and Daredevil, done by John Romita Jr.
Okay,
well, that's and cool. John Romita Sr. Both of them worked on that one. I have an Arthur Adams that I have to put up that signed where he redid the cover of Fantastic Four, but expanded it beyond the cover frame. So he has the cover of Fantastic Four #1. And you see the frame from the issue, and then behind it you see like every other character that appeared in the Fantastic Four's first 100 issues. What else do I have? Well, I have the picture of the signed FF from the late George Perez, and another signed FF from Mark Wirigno of the FF. So I have some signed pieces. And then I have, looking next to Alex Ross, I've got signed pieces by, and these are only little, they're 8x11s. Ron Frez, Joe Sinnott, Walt Simonson, Andy Kubert, and Brian Hitch.
Oh, I like Andy Kubert.
Hmm?
I like Andy Kubert. Did he do Batman for you?
No. I had him do Thor. And I printed up a picture of Thor that he had done. And he signed it. And then he did like a little sketch of the Mjolnir with lightning coming out of it in the corner.
Oh, that's really cool.
So he did, you know, it's a little something extra besides just his name there. But that's why I always liked Artist Alley at the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're not too nuts with the requests, you know, they'll do a little something like that. And for him to make the hammer took 15 seconds.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, but some guys are like, hey, can you do a full sketch of, you know, whoever? You know, and it's like, you're taking up more time than you really should. It's great to say, hi, I appreciate your work. And, you know, can I please get something signed? Thank you. You know, but when you start asking to do like quick character sketches, you're kind of eating up their time a bit.
You know, I remember when Jack and I and his family were at Star Wars weekends, and we were online, I think, to see Ahsoka, and these two nerd girls were in front of us, and they're like, in 10 minutes we're closing the line. And they go up there and they're like, can we each have your autograph? And they must have been like in their 30s, maybe, you know? And I say, and could you write it to this? I had a question about you and Anakin Skywalker. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. It's like, there's a long line of people, you know, they're trying
to. My kid here needs a picture with her. Come on.
Yeah, I wanted a picture with her, for crying out loud, you know? Because after that, they were gonna switch to, not Rex, who was the other dude? Who's the other clone trooper?
Cody,
yeah.
The orange one?
Yeah, I didn't want him. I wanted Rex or whatever. And I'm not, but anyway, I just wanted to get a picture with Ahsoka. And these two girls were just annoying the hell out of me. And I was like so tempted to trip them when they walked by. Because I don't think we got to get the picture with Ahsoka because they were too busy bullshitting with her. Where it's like, you know, and plus, all right, I'm a big kid, but there are little kids on the line too behind me, you know. Anyway, then that reminds me too. When I used to go to Hollywood Studios, at a certain time, I think around 5 o'clock in the animation studios, they used to have all these animated characters come out. And I used to go once a week, and I would, you know, take pictures with some of the characters, and so I became friend with Pocahontas. I don't know if you remember that, Jack.
Pocahontas was cute. Yes, I remember.
She was cute, yeah. And I felt bad because after a while, I mean, she knew me. She knew my name and everything. And then she would talk to me for like 10 or 15 minutes. And you could look at the people's faces. And like, I wouldn't be talking to her. But she just like, she would try to say, Did you get a dugout or a canoe and paddle up here from St. Petersburg? And it's like, yeah, you know, and I'd be nice and everything, but I felt bad again for the kids. You know, it's like, let's just get the picture and let's get going, you know? And, but I don't know. She was cute though.
Yeah. Some of the Disney princesses, they are pretty cute.
What about you, Fedra? I know you probably, I would assume, you probably met like a lot of famous musicians. Like,
do you know, she's standing in line behind you, ready to trip you.
What's that?
She's standing in line behind you, ready to trip you as you go by.
Oh, with Pocahontas? No, she wasn't there. But like, have you ever met like musicians, and like, have you got like some kind of memorabilia from them?
I think I only have one.
What's that?
I went to see a band that I really loved in high school. I was very much into grunge. And I went to see a local Chicago band, but they were actually in St. Louis when I was living there in 2018. They're called Local H. And I'm actually Facebook friends with Scott Lucas, which is pretty awesome. But I got the drummer, and I didn't get Scott because Scott kind of just, you know, took off, which makes sense.
Are they like popular? Again, I wasn't into grunge other than, I guess, Nirvana.
They're still touring. I don't know. Like, I mean, they're more of, they've been known. I don't know now, but yeah, they tour around still, and they're like one of the grunge bands from Chicago. It was a 2-piece, and now I think it's a 3-piece. But yeah, like I told you, like I'm not really into celebrities like that. If I get the chance, I'm going to take them to lunch if they're worth it, as you guys know. Yeah. Maybe a photo, but I feel like, not that I'm shy, it's more of like they get that all the time, so I would feel bad. It would, you know, to ask them. It would be more of just like, oh my God, they're right there. Hey, how's it going? Like, I would probably do that more so because, you know, they just hear it all the time. And I know that's part of the job, but it's also like, I don't want to bother them. I only got to Disney once in my life, so I was too busy going on every single ride that I could that I didn't get any time to see any of the characters, unfortunately.
See, I was disappointed. I thought you were going to tell me that you met Joan Baez in like a hipster coffee shop or something like that.
No. I mean, there's still time in my life. Maybe yeah, one day know. I will. I still... You know, a dream of mine is like to do a charity, you know, gig with Johnny Depp with his band, and like do like a whole like charity festival thing. That would be like the highlight. Like that would be something like wow. Like, no, I didn't meet Johnny Depp. I jammed with him. Like that would be amazing.
Yeah, well, that's a dream.
Yeah,
we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was thinking about getting a poster signed by Frank Miller. He's going to be at MegaCon. MegaCon is going to be in a couple of weeks, and they got a lot of interesting people showing up. I wanted to get something signed by Alex Ross, but he's not going to be there. Klaus Janson is also going to be there. And he, I think he did the art for the Dark Knight Returns, but they're expensive too.
Who? Miller did his own art on that.
No, I think Klaus, well, I have to look. I thought Klaus Janson did the art and somebody else did the inks. But I think Miller might have done it for the second one. And the second one was crap. I never bothered getting it. And I never got the third one either. You know, the sequels.
I didn't even realize there was a third sequel.
Yeah, I think it was called The Master Race.
Oh.
I forget what the second one was called, but the second one was so bad. You know, I went into a store and I thumbed through it, and I was like, first the artwork was like, ugh. And then just the story was something I really wasn't into. It was more like, I think it might have been more Superman focused, like with Kandor and, you know, the lost city of Kandor, the minimized city of Kandor. And I'm just never into that crap. So that was a pass for me. And I heard it sucked too. But it is, you know, again, after watching this movie, you realize, and I know Jack's going to disagree with me, I just think like he really was evolutionary for the comic book industry. I feel like the comic book industry was dying, and he came in and he injected it with just something that we'd never seen before, which I know from my experience, like when I was, I don't know if I was working or I was in college at the time, and a friend of mine said, we should go to Jim Hanley's Universe, which is a comic book store. And I was like, oh, what do you want to get comic books for? That's for kids. But he was into Star Trek too. He was like really big into the new Star Trek movies, you know, with the red suits and everything. And they had a comic book series on that, and he wanted to get some of those. But he says, you got to pick up this, The Dark Knight Returns. And I was like, I ain't picking up comic books. I mean, I grew up a long time ago. And then he's like, trust me, just buy it. And I bought it, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. You know, it's like I never realized that comic books could be this dark. And it just changed Batman forever. Like, where prior to that, he was more like, he wasn't as bad as Adam West, but he was on that spectrum, you know, like where.
No, I don't think he was.
He was boring, though.
I mean, he was. He wasn't Adam West, but he was definitely a more mature, you know, he was like a just, I'd say he was on par with like Captain America.
I don't know Iron about Man. That. He just was very soft. And again, I know like if my grandma, sometimes she would pick me up comic books. If she got me DC ones, I'd instantly trade them because Marvel was cool. DC was not. And during the time, but anyway, I fell in love with it, and I was telling, you know, Charlie and Dom about The Dark Knight Returns and saying like how influential, and I maybe I should go to MegaCon and try to see if I can get something signed by him, because I know you could, like I said, you're going to disagree, but I would put him up there with being almost as influential as Stan Lee.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell yes. No, because comic books were dying at that point. And by him doing what he did, he changed everything. Not only DC, but also Marvel. Because everybody became darker. Like, eventually, Wolverine became darker. The Punisher became much darker.
And like I said, that was the point comic books went away from being kids' media to teens' media. And now we're in adult media, you know.
But it was on life support. It would have died if something didn't happen. And I think that he really kicked comic books' ass. And then he also did Daredevil Born Again. I forget what else he did. But he did a lot of stuff. Did he do 300? Yeah, he did 300. He did Sin City. I think he's amazing. And there's so many people now that hate him. Like the woke community hate him. I don't know exactly what he said, but he's very conservative thinking, and like they're trying to cancel him. Like I remember like a couple of years ago, he was supposed to be at like some Scottish Comic Con or, you know, something over in the UK. And they complained that they didn't want him there because they felt it wasn't a safe space with him there. So the organizers had to tell him that he wasn't welcome or else people were going to start dropping out. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? This guy is a legend. And again, you know, it's like you don't have to believe or agree with everything that somebody says, but you have to respect somebody that's been in the industry and has been a writer.
If you want your opinion respected, you have to respect other people's opinion.
Yes, exactly.
Just that simple. And we're allowed to have different opinions. That's what makes us us. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And that percentage, if you looked at it for the people who would have attended, was probably a very small percentage.
And even like when I was watching The Dark Knight Returns, like everybody was after Batman. The police were after Batman. There's all these criminals breaking crimes, running rampant. The Joker is a psychotic lunatic, and they want to rehabilitate him, and they think that he's a victim of all the beatings he took from Batman. They see the Batman and Joker are fighting. The new police commissioner instantly shoots at Batman. You know, they think that he's worse than the Joker because he's a vigilante. He operates outside the law. You know, he puts criminals in the hospitals. You know, and, and it's kind of like what we're seeing now, like with a lot of major cities where people are, or I don't know if we would you say politicians are more prone to give more rights to the criminals than they are from to the victims. Where you'll see like the swinging door of justice, where somebody will get arrested for pushing somebody on the subway track, and then they're released like a couple of days later, or even hours later. And it's like, how could this be? You know, I mean, I know you live in the tri-state. Well, yeah, I guess you do live in the tri-state.
Well, I'm in the tri-state area. I mean, yeah.
Like, how many stories have you heard about people being pushed on subway tracks? Like that one guy,
he was arrested 100 times. Who pushed somebody on the subway tracks, and he was out that night.
It's insanity. You know, we need somebody like Batman, except he'd be killed instantly.
Probably. Or he'd have to amp up to the violence of the people he's fighting.
Well, he'd have to kill. I mean, that's the whole thing. And Batman's not supposed to kill, but I think if he's going to want to get away with things, he's going to have to do some damage. Anyway, let's get into it. All right, let's get into the news. So, rumor is, I'm hearing two different rumors. That the rumor is that the Rey movie's delayed, and now indefinitely, and I think Lucasfilm is coming back and saying that's not true. Thoughts? Let Fedra go first.
Okay.
I mean, I hope it's not true. I really would like a new Rey film. I mean, again, I haven't been following, so I don't know when did this rumor start, but I thought that she posted like an Instagram thing last year, almost hinting that something.
Oh, no, they announced that they're making a Rey movie. And I don't know that, I forget the name of the director, but the director is some Pakistani feminist documentary maker, and people were losing their shit like a couple of weeks ago. Because I mean, rightfully
even on the show, we were condemning her.
I'm saying rightfully so, mostly because she's got no experience. She's mostly known for making documentaries about Pakistani women being oppressed, and
she's self-admittedly not a filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, she went to school and majored in economics, and she just became a filmmaker by accident. So what does Lucasfilm do? They just hire her, give her a ton of money, and they give her one of the biggest franchises to make a movie for. Which, again, are you sure that you're looking for the best person to do the job? I wouldn't say so. Again, it's they're ticking boxes.
I'm wondering, who does she know to get such a connection and such an opportunity?
Kathleen Kennedy.
Well, besides Kathleen, how did they find this woman who has no connection in film and just did documentaries? You know,
she directed two episodes of Miss Marvel, and they both sucked. Jack, you disappeared again.
Oh, jeez. What is going on with the camera here?
Okay.
Let's see.
I mean, yeah, that's still, I don't feel grounds enough to do two episodes of Miss Marvel to then do a full-length film for Star Wars. I think that is a bit much.
Well, I think what happened, too, is they announced that Mandalorian Grogu movie. And so they put that into priority, and they pushed back the development of the Rey movie.
Right. So they don't do like back-to-back Star Wars either, because they learned that lesson also, hopefully.
And I was telling Jack, there are rumors out there that the story is that Rey, I think it's called The New Jedi Order or something.
I think that's the working title right now.
She's starting a new Jedi Order. guess it takes place maybe 15 years or so after the events of the Rise of Skywalker. And again, this is just rumor. We don't know this if this is true or not. But apparently, she had twins somehow with Kylo Ren. And so she's training them as Jedi. And one's a boy, one's a girl, and one of them's evil, and one of them's good. Can you guess, Fredra, which one is evil and which is good?
I mean, are they going to do the stereotype, really?
Again, this is rumor, but it
does. Because I would love for the woman to be evil. That would be nice. Can we have like a female Palpatine? That would be sweet.
It would be.
And then we have a good, you know, kind of Luke. But wait. Ooh, he could be like a combination of like Han and Kylo. So like he's a great smuggler, but every now and then he has to like destroy something because he has a tangent fit.
Or don't cross him or you'll be sorry.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's the boy that's evil and he kills Rey. And the girl still thinks that there's good in him. And she wants to turn him back.
No, there ain't no good if you kill your own mama. No.
Well,
Rey
thought there was good in Kylo Ren when he killed Han Solo.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, no.
But this is why, again, it's a rumor.
You kill your own parents like you're psycho, man.
But it just seems so repetitive that we've seen that story before, you know?
Well, yeah, we know that because they can't come up with anything creative. I mean, they're not George Lucas, and even George Lucas is retired. It's like, I don't know. Like, you know, why don't they just take Lucas, you know, put him in a room, give him LSD, and, you know, maybe he'll come out and come up with, you know, a whole phase 5, phase 6 of Star Wars and be like, I got it. I'll be like, good. We've been waiting a freaking decade for this. Like, let's go.
Well, they had it, and they said, no thanks, George, and said, nice seeing you again, buddy, and sent him on his way.
Well, I will say at that time, I would have said the same thing after the prequels. And I did think The Force Awakens was very good.
I don't know. I mean, the way things are going, I rather have the prequels.
Me too.
If I'm going to spend, because I know myself, because I like to, you know, I like to go out. So if I'm spending $30 or $40 to go to the theater and then what? I'm sitting there for 2-3 hours. I'd rather have the prequels at this point. That's saying a lot. You know? Yeah. And I mean, again, like to me, it doesn't matter if it's a female director or even if they go crazy and do a whole female cast. They could still, in my opinion, they could still get away with a Star Wars story with a whole female cast. It's if the writing is there and if it's still true to Star Wars. But they're not doing that. They're still like twisting and implicating different agendas in Star Wars when it's not supposed to be. And I know that, you know, it's a broken record, but I will keep emphasizing it also because I don't get heightened when I see, you know, this person giving it a try to direct. But I do have a problem if you're not going to stick with the true story of Star Wars and it's feeling like it's something else. Like all of a sudden it's a detective movie or all of a sudden it's a horrific sci-fi thing, like, then I'm not into this. And then it's not Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just, I was thinking about this the other day, like, how can you fix Disney? Like, at the point now where in a way, it's tough. I don't think they could ever come back from everything that they've done with their animation department, with Star Wars, with Marvel. Like, people have lost faith in them. Because
it's going to take a long time.
Because they've just been too preachy and they've been pushing, obviously, inclusiveness in our faces and telling us that we have to accept it because this is the way now.
Well, they're also showing trauma. because I agree with you. Why do they have to perpetuate this story of the child always losing a parent or both parents? I'm sick and tired of it. That's trauma.
Well, that's literally like, that's been going on for 100 years.
I know. Let's do something new. We're above that now. Come on, it's 2024, you know?
No, but I liked when they did that animated series, the Star Wars animated series. What was that called?
Oh my God, they could use branding.
Jedi. No, not Tales of the Jedi. Was it called? It was like Japanese anime.
The Visions?
Yeah,
Visions. Yeah, you were talking about that. I didn't like the Visions at all. I still haven't seen that.
But I liked it. There was like some like where you would see Star Wars in the vein of like a samurai warrior, you know, or taking place in feudal Japan or something like that. Again, it was all Japanese. I mean, they could do something like that, you know, like where they make a Star Wars movie and the whole cast is Asian, or it takes place like, you know, in that type of vein, or the same thing, African-American or something like that, or in Africa, you know, and that would be fine. But like if you want to make, it seems like they're pushing Star Wars to be a girls franchise, like with everything that they've done recently.
Well, they're walking around wearing shirts. The Force is female.
Yeah. Which I don't understand, because why can't you separate it? I mean, can't you make movies for girls and then movies for boys?
Why can't Star Wars just be for everybody?
Or, yeah, that too.
It's
been for everybody for years. Why does it now have to be gender specific? I don't know.
Like the Barbie movie was very successful because girls like Barbie. And, you know, guys went to go see it too. But like girls are fans of Barbie. Now it didn't work at, you know, Disney or Marvel was expecting the same sort of numbers from the Marvels because it was a female focused movie. But the Marvels are not Barbie. You know, Barbie is a female franchise. The Marvel is still considered, was predominantly like a boys franchise or a male franchise. That they're trying to change it, it's just not working. You know, I think what they have to do is they have to do a complete 180. I mean, they're very woke now. I would say prior, other than Disney, I would say probably Bud Light was the worst example of what happens, you know, with when you go woke. But Disney just keeps doubling down with these things. And it's, I think the only way for them to get out of this is they have to do a complete 180. And by that, they got to get rid of Iger. They got to get rid of Kennedy. They got to get rid of Feige and anyone else too, which I guess they'd have to do layoffs and just lay off the people that have come up with bad decisions. And when I say 180, go back to how Disney used to be, where you make movies about princesses, but they also have a prince in there rescuing the damsel, have the princess be a damsel in distress, not have it where Ariel saves the prince this time or whatever else that they do. And that, like what we saw with Indiana Jones, like where the girl not only had to be equal to Indiana Jones, but she had to be better than Indiana Jones. They got to stop doing that crap. You know, they have to make it like it's okay for a girl to be rescued. Not all girls are strong and powerful. Like there are some, like I love, again, seeing movies like Kill Bill and Aliens and Terminator, you know, where you see strong women. But that doesn't mean that all women have to be strong. It doesn't mean that all men should be strong, you know. But that's what just bothers me the most, is that they try to make it like, well, now Snow White, she has to be strong. She has to be the strong one. She has to defeat the evil queen. She has to, I guess, go against some army or whatever the hell. Nobody wants to see that other than like a select few of people. So what I would do again is
don't show up to see it.
No, they don't.
That's the problem.
They wait for it to be,
and still don't come.
They wait for it to be released on digital and then they pirate it because they're cheap and they don't want to spend money to go see something like that. Even like, and again, Disney just like, they just never learn. Like they started re-releasing like the recent Pixar movies that went directly to Disney Plus. Like they made a big deal. They released Soul during Martin Luther King weekend, you know, and
did you hear how little money they made?
Yeah, it would make like $100,000 or something.
Yeah, that it rolled out in 1,000 theaters, and the weekend take was around less than $900 per theater.
Wow.
Like, that's sorry. Nothing. It was nothing. And they're still coming out with the Red Panda movie. They plan on releasing then.
And Coco.
And Coco.
Not Coco. I'm sorry. Luca. Luca.
Which actually, I liked Luca. Luca was pretty good. But would I go see it in the theater after it's been on Disney Plus? Probably not.
I like the kids in Luca, and I like the Italy scene. I didn't like the monsters. I thought they just didn't look like sea monsters, and I didn't like the voices for the parents and all that. It could have been better, but there are times I think it looks really nice, like visually, and that's what Disney does do that good, where they make a lot of like visually appealing movies. But you better have a goddamn good story in order for you to make money. Like if they would have re-released Frozen in theaters, that would have made a couple of $1 million, last weekend.
Yeah.
They're just so
big enough following.
They're just so pompous and arrogant that they think that they're still blaming COVID for all of their failures. It's like, but why aren't the other studios having these failures too? Like why didn't Super Mario Brothers bomb at the box office? Or Barbie,
Or Maverick, or Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that they really need to go back and it's going to piss off like a lot of people that are woke. But
problem though is that these people who are now decision makers, they came in at a lower level. Now they've been promoted into middle management. So as bad as Iger is, his whole support structure is made up of people who follow his message. And getting rid of those people is going to be hard because you're just going to start stripping away the corporate culture and the corporate support where the company's not going to be able to run.
You know what I heard today?
They're running it into the ground, unfortunately.
Is that he gave himself a raise, or he asked for a raise and the board just gave it to him. Where now I thought he was making like $26 million last year when he came back. But apparently, I think they said that he was making around 15. So this year he's going to be making 30. So they laid off like, I think, 7,000 to 10,000 employees. And then he gives himself a raise. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's like he could have kept all his employees and not give himself a raise.
That's not going to happen.
No.
He's going to go. Won't happen in anywhere in corporate America.
he was good in, at times. He's got a good tenure and all that stuff. But now he's just not the same person he once was. And he hasn't done anything since he's returned other than lay off a lot of people and piss off a lot of people. Like I said, I would do a complete 180, go completely non-woke, which again would piss off the woke people, but then slowly, integrate it where it's for everybody, but you have to bring back the people that are anti-woke. And the only way you're going to do that is go completely anti-woke. And, again, then slowly bring back everybody and then just kind of balance it off. Don't sway it. Try to find a balance where it's not too anti-woke and it's not too woke. And I think it could be done, but it's going to be tough for them.
I don't know if they could do it.
Honestly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, again, I don't know. Too many changes.
I mean, the one good thing is that they're trying to get rid of all these people, like that guy, Nelson Putz or whatever his name is. he's got billions of dollars worth of Disney stock, and he's trying to get on the board, and he's trying to get someone else on the board, and he's trying to convince shareholders to have the board be more conservative than woke. And if they can do that, they can get rid of Iger, they can get rid of Kennedy. You know, they can go back to the way things used to be. So it's possible. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so Karen and Foggy are now in Daredevil Born Again.
Yes.
God, did you watch some of Daredevil?
Yeah.
Did you watch all three seasons?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I loved it.
Well, you're better than me.
That's what you said. Yeah. You couldn't believe it. I did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're bringing him back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we discussed this a while ago. It was so bad that they decided to shut the whole thing down because they were filming Daredevil Born Again. And I guess Feige made the call that they filmed, I think, 9 episodes and
after the first 3, he said, "You're all fired. Scrap it."
You know, that's a good call. Okay.
No, it's a good sign. Definitely. Like where he's got a new suit. You know, it's like, because I think he was having the yellow and red suit. I think now he's got the red suit or like a black and red suit.
And the thing is, I mean, it's surprising they're bringing back the yellow suit because I think it really didn't last that long. I want to say that like only lasted about 6 issues.
I think that was his original suit, though.
Yeah, the yellow and red was the original suit, but It was gone very quickly to his all red.
I mean, if they want to do that, why don't they give us the friggin' Gray Hulk already? I want to see him.
Well, I'm waiting for that to happen. Because the Professor Hulk personality has to collapse on itself and he gets split again.
I hope so.
We'll see what happens.
But Fedra, like in the comic book series Daredevil Born Again, which was written by Frank Miller, Karen was an integral part of that series. And I would say she was just as important as Daredevil in that series because she was like the catalyst. She caused all the problems. Not that it was her fault, but she was under distress and she revealed who Daredevil really was, that he was Matt Murdock. And then the Kingpin eventually found out. And then he made his life a living hell. I mean, you know, he pushed him to the edge. And I guess the whole
barred, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And then I guess the whole Born Again is just coming, is where he hits rock bottom and he comes out of the ashes and he's born again. It's a great series, Daredevil Born Again. But the powers at Disney decided that we're just going to use the name and we're going to do a completely different story. And we're not going to have Karen. Well, again, Karen, when Daredevil Born Again starts in the comics, I think she's in Mexico and she's a drug addict and she's now a prostitute so that she can get drugs. You know, she's really messed up and
she's a junkie.
She's a junkie. Yeah. So she's fighting to survive, and the only way she thinks that she could make money is if she reveals who Daredevil is. Somebody will buy that from her, and then she'll either get drugs or money or whatever the hell. And again, it's a fascinating story, but they didn't want Karen in it, you know, probably because she was blonde, you know, and they wanted a more diverse cast. So I think they killed her off screen, you know, and they got rid of Foggy too. So now they're back and let's hope that they actually follow the story of Daredevil Born Again. Cause again, it's a fantastic story. I'd rather see it be a movie in theaters than to, what is this? Is it, I think it's
Netflix.
It's Disney Plus, but I think
it's going to be a series, but I don't know how many episodes.
It's a lot. I think it's 18 episodes.
That's going to kill you, man.
Oh, yeah. Especially if they release it all at once.
You couldn't take the 12 episodes on Netflix. How are you going to handle 30?
13 episodes
on Netflix. Well, I don't know. Is it going to be as dark? I don't think so.
Well, it should be. But because I think that the original one that they were making was very light, and that's why Feige said everybody's going to hate this, and then we're just going to get creamed on YouTube, in the press. Everybody's going to say we're woke. We made Daredevil woke, and
maybe we're going to kill him off and make a girl Daredevil.
God.
Oh, that was another thing too. Yeah, they were going to kill him off and have some girl be Daredevil.
That's even more woke.
Yeah. So, thankfully, luckily we're not getting that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't want a female Daredevil. No.
And hopefully they bring back Marcy, too.
Marcy?
Marcy, Foggy's wife. She was initially his, like...
Oh, I was saying that Darcy. I was like...
No, Darcy, not Darcy.
Daredevil.
Marcy was Foggy's girlfriend.
She's a character.
And she was just like a shark. You know,
she was, then, yeah.
But the thing is... She really did care about Foggy.
And oh, this was in the Netflix series?
Yeah, the Netflix series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember. Oh, I probably didn't get that far.
But she was funny because she'd be the one who'd come out and just say these brutally honest, like, this is the situation, guys, you know, and cut to it. But I thought she was great.
Yeah, it would turn me off with Daredevil on Netflix was there just was too many episodes. And then in season two, I got through half of it. I just didn't like that. Was it John Berthnell as Punisher? I just didn't buy him as Punisher.
I liked him as the Punisher, but I honestly can't think of anything I really didn't like in those three seasons. I really thought Daredevil was great. I wish they'd bring back that whole crew to write it, direct it, film it, all of it.
I don't know. I think that was too dark, too. There's got to be some light moments. I think there's got to be a balance in it. And that was a bit of a problem for me, too, is that, you know, it reminded me of Batman, but, like, the darkest parts of Batman. Like, Batman Returns, Tim Burton. Except worse, darker.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I don't know. I thought it was dark.
No, I don't think it was that dark. But it was, I mean, it was dark. But I think it was appropriate. It really felt like the vibe of the comic to me.
Yeah, and it was intense, definitely. And the fight choreography was just terrific in it.
Yeah, no, there was definitely some good moments. I thought that Charlie Cox was a good Daredevil. And when he finally got his costume, it was a decent costume. But I'd rather just see a movie. Just give me a 2-hour Daredevil movie and I'll be happy instead of having to sit through 13 hours of Daredevil for the first season.
If it was the same as the Netflix series, give me all 13. In fact, double that order.
Well, you'll be lucky because apparently they're doing 18.
Once it's good. That's I don't mind if it's long as it's good.
Actually, I heard that Vincent D'Onofrio said that they might be doing less episodes now that they're starting filming again, which is good for me. Maybe they came to that conclusion too, that it's like, well, 18's a little too long. Let's maybe make it 12 or what would be nice, 8. 8 episodes, I'd be very happy. I think you could tell the whole story of Daredevil Born Again in 8 episodes.
Probably.
Anyway, so She-Hulk Season 2 is apparently not happening. Tatiana Maslany said that she thinks that we blew over our budget and Disney was like, no thanks.
I don't know. I think it's just that you insulted your boss kind of tough publicly, and they don't want you back.
I didn't know about I didn't know about that, but I mean, season one wasn't great at all, so I'm not surprised.
Well, they apparently spent $225 million on season one. That's a lot of freaking money.
That's a lot of money. But they always spend a lot of money on these miniseries, and
they don't produce. It's
just not good.
Yeah, it's like, where does the money go? That's what you got. You have to hire an accountant to find out who's getting paid. Where does the money lead to?
Yeah.
Because someone's getting rich off of this. And
no, I mean, I honestly, they're paying people. However, these people aren't producing stuff to get a decent return on the investment. You might have somebody directing, but and you're paying him what you would pay a director, but he's not very good at his job. You're paying these writers, but they don't know how to write a good story.
Yeah, it's
that's where the money's going.
They're doing like the whole shock thing, like with where it might have started with, you know, Loki saying he was bisexual. That was the big news for the Loki season one. You know, like all the papers were carrying it. It's like, guess what? He's bisexual. You know, but what was the story about? There was nothing to, I remember we hated that episode. That was like when they were like racing to get to that ship or something like that.
So you get off.
Yeah, they were on the train. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a train. Yeah. And it was like, yeah, but the episode sucks.
Sitting in that booth talking about it. Like,
but Disney must work with the press and say, well, look, we're going to release this episode. Luke is going to come out as gay. And like, all right, we're going to push that. And then like it was trending, you know. And then they did the same thing with She-Hulk. Megan Thee Stallion twerks with She-Hulk. That's all people were talking about the next day. The episode sucked, but they were talking about the two of them twerking.
Uh-huh.
And then what was it? Who's that fat singer? Lizzo?
Lizzo on The Mandalorian.
Lizzo and Jack Black. Again, another crappy episode.
I mean, it was cool to have Jack Black. I liked him because he's goofy and funny, but Lizzo she didn't really make an impression really at all.
No, but again, that's what Disney does. It's like they think that this is what people need to see or want to see. There's a small, you know, percentage of the population that want to see that crap. I mean, they just want to see a good story, like the first season of The Mandalorian. Like, first couple episodes were killer, you know? And then, for whatever reason, they just kind of lost their way.
But I don't know. First two seasons of Mandalorian, I thought were terrific. And then
yeah,
it became to the adventures of Bo-Katan and a Mandalorian guy.
I mean, when you think about it, you know, you had the first three, the last three episodes in the Skywalker trilogy. The first two weren't bad, the first two movies. And then you had Solo, a Star Wars story, and you had Rogue One. You know, which they weren't home runs, but they weren't bad either. And then you had The Mandalorian, and The Mandalorian was actually pretty damn good. But then something just happened, you know, and everything just started to go downhill.
Oh, well. Next news story.
So Disney released a controversial deleted scene from The Marvels. And actually, I think it was the girl that played Miss Marvel that may have released it, or she was, I don't know, but she released it on her Twitter. Maybe it was coming from Disney, but I think I sent it to you guys. I don't know if you watched it. It was weird.
It was very weird.
Nope, didn't see it.
So Valkyrie, that was in the movie, she calls up Captain Marvel's ship, but Captain Marvel isn't there and Kamala Khan is. And so Kamala Khan's very excited to see Valkyrie because she's a hero of hers. But Valkyrie assumes that Captain Marvel is in a relationship with Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, and that she may have married her. And then at some point, I don't know, I think she, is she going to takes control of the ship? And she tells her, who, instead of saying strap in, she says strap on. She goes, oh, All right, get ready. Strap on. Oops, I meant strap in. And it just was weird that
it's sort of like, it just seemed like they wanted to drop the word because there was no setup for it to be like a joke or funny. I don't know. I thought it was like, well, once again, just bad writing. You know, but if it was meant to be a strap-on joke, it just wasn't funny. And it's the worst thing a joke can be, not funny.
No,
so,
I
it's just, so it's just implying lesbianism?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, originally,
it's not landing, so that's terrible.
It's not landing, and the person it's being made to is a teenager.
Yeah, the she's 16.
Teenager. It's just not in good taste.
Wait. Yeah, because Valkyrie's older.
Right.
Well, not only that, she's implying that Captain Marvel and her are married. Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel are married.
I'm getting confused. So Miss Marvel is a 16-year-old?
Yeah, she's a 16-year-old. She's on Captain Marvel's ship. Captain Marvel isn't there. Valkyrie calls up Captain Marvel to talk to her because apparently she had a relationship with Captain Marvel because Captain Marvel was a lesbian too, which they cut out of the movie. And
now they're even showing a triad situation there.
Yeah,
with a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, so they
decided. So this is a whole double standard then. Because if this was being shown with guys, people would have a field day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'd go nuts.
But I've seen people defending it, like saying that. It's like, oh, give me a break. There's so many adult humor seen in The Simpsons that go over kids' heads, and nobody complains about that. But there's no strap-on humor, you know, in The Simpsons.
Yeah, there's no...
There's a difference.
It may be an adult comment, but it's nothing in reference to, Marge's funny little toy in the nightstand, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a double standard to me.
Yeah, it's like Lisa's not the butt of the joke, you know? If they're going to do it, it's going to be like Homer or Marge. I mean, they had an episode where they thought Bart was gay. And again, I thought they handled it well. It's like it's one of my favorite episodes. I think it's pretty funny. They have John Waters is in it, and they handled it very well. Like how Homer was homophobic, and how he learned to accept John Waters as a friend, and you know, it was good. Good episode.
Well, I don't like it because it stirs up boundaries.
What do you mean?
Well, like, because I'm thinking, of boundaries between women, and then if we're going to go into the state of the character, Miss Marvel looks up to both of them. So even right. if they were kidding around, why is a 16-year-old, like, I get it if a 16-year-old has a crush on someone, they're not going to have the guts to go to a grown-ass lesbian and be like, yeah, I have this crush on you. And then it's moving into pedophilia if these two older women are like joking around with a 16-year-old about grabbing a strap on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying like there's boundaries there that even if you're kidding around, that's enticing something that kid can't really be consensual about. And usually when it comes to doing something of that nature, of course they're going to make it as a joke because that's a great way to feel out a person of what they're open to doing or what they're not opening to doing. But you generally can't do that with a minor because it's a minor.
Yeah.
So I am going to take that pretty seriously because I like to flip things around. And if those were three guys, And that's a 16-year-old boy, and two gay guys are doing that on screen. I'm going to have a problem with it also. So, I mean, to me, it's like, are they trying to insinuate that we can get away with this because it's two women and a girl? Because that I really have a problem with then. Then I'm really going to get on a soapbox, because that's not cool. You can't turn that around like that. That's disgusting. And then, you know, because that's like, oh, it's okay because it's all women. It's like, no. I hope you get what I'm trying to put down. I'm just trying to be delicate right now this topic.
No, I just want to know who greenlit this at Disney. Someone had to have read the script. And
right.
So that was coming up and said, well, this is okay. It'll be fun. But I think also what affected this too, and maybe why it wasn't in the movie, was that a month before this movie came out, they released that that South Park episode, you know, make it gay, put a chick in it, make it gay, make it lame, you know.
Well, thank God this wasn't in the freaking movie. Thank God. I hope this isn't part of the deleted scenes, because that should not.
It is in the deleted scene, supposedly.
Yeah, I haven't checked. Well, I don't think it's available on Disney Plus yet, but they'll probably include it as a special feature where you can see that. Yeah, they're just weird. Like I said, they got to do a complete 180.
No, that's not. That's sexualizing a 16-year-old. That's what it is. And they're doing it like the joke, and it ain't a joke. Like that's where that, I would say then it's a rated R movie with the deleted scene. And I know that would probably be like too much for people, but it's like, no, like that, like that's leading into stuff that should not be in Marvel.
It's just gross. That movie was a mess. And another thing with that movie too is Valkyrie, I don't know why, but she's into wearing suits. Like in the last couple of movies that we've seen her in, which, what do we see her in?
No, she was in Thor: Love and Thunder when she was in the board meeting, you know, as King of Asgard. And, you know, she's talking to everybody and she's sitting there at the head of the table in a suit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because she's like,
I could kind of see that if she's in like the army and she's like, in the defensive mode, like that's no, she, like she a wears realm a, of masculinity.
She wears a black jacket, black tie, white shirt, black pants. That's what she wears all the time now, instead of her Valkyrie outfit.
Well, you know, she's not on duty, and
but the chicks like normally wear that.
Clothes. I mean,
is that something that they normally wear
in New York?
I mean, unless you're Annie Hall, you know. I don't know if anyone ever got that joke.
I've seen a lot of women in New York wear black suits all the time. Like, black is their favorite color in New York.
No, but black jacket, black pants, white shirt, black tie.
She's in corporate wear.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, it's almost like Blues Brothers, right?
No, she looks like a businessman. I mean, it's men's clothes. I'm sorry. What she's wearing is men's clothes. We'll send you the deleted scene, Fedra. You can check it out.
Okay.
But we see, know what
I,
they
I
were.
I don't have a problem with that, you know? Because, like I said, I mean, I remember women wearing suits. And
they didn't wear suits like that. No, I mean, I could see them wearing pantsuits. But not like that, Jack. I mean, it looked
no,
like
she was I've seen women wearing like suits like that. I mean, they're cut for a woman, you know, but they wear the corporate.
It made no sense for her whatsoever to ever be wearing that, other than the fact that they were trying to highlight that she was lesbian.
I don't know. That sounds like a stereotype, because just because a woman wears a suit or wears a business attire doesn't mean they're a lesbian.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be. There are different types of lesbians, but I would say that...
I don't know, Joe. I think you're on a losing battle.
No,
there.
I won. You guys are just wrong. I'm sorry with this.
No.
No.
I disagree
right.
with you.
I disagree with you. I'm going to use my veto on this one.
Good luck with the veto.
All right, next story. So Pixar is laying off 20% of its staff. And I told Jack at the end of the podcast, we didn't talk about it, but we were talking about how Amazon is laying off a ton of staff because of that stupid Lord of the Rings series that cost billions of dollars to make, apparently. Didn't do well. So they're like, well, we'll just lay off staff. Like what Disney's doing. And like Disney laid off because they had all these failures with their movies, where Iger announced, well, we have to lay off 7,000 people. And I said, I bet you they're not done. I said, I bet you Pixar and Disney Animation Studios are next. The next day.
The next day, there it is in the paper.
It's announced they're laying off 20% of its staff.
Hey, yeah. They got to produce.
Yeah, that's what you get. You make crap. It's like, do you expect to, you know, again, if you're a business, it's, you know, it's like, say I open up like a bakery, you know, and I get a loan from a bank and it looks really nice. And they're like, it's going to be the best bakery ever. It's like, oh, great. We could use a bakery in this town. It's like, don't worry, you're going to have one. So I open up the bakery and I only sell one item, and it's broccoli cupcakes. And I love them. And nobody buys my broccoli cupcakes. And in a week, you know, which I guess is like being a little too soon, but before you know it, I'm out of business. And I got to, you know, that's what Pixar and Disney are like. They're making movies for themselves and a small minority of people, but they're not making movies for everyone. Like Jack said, they should be making movies for everyone, you know?
And yeah.
But they can't anymore.
They should.
The rot is so entrenched that they can't get past their own vision. They, you know, you have people who are, you know, agenda driven, and everything is filtered through that viewpoint. And they can't help themselves, you know, but it should be their supervisors or managers who say no, whack them with a ruler.
The best thing that Disney, that Pixar can do is if they bring back John Lasseter, because he got fired. And again, I don't know all the things that he did, but apparently he got fired during the height of the Me Too movement, that apparently they said he was too touchy-feely. And that he would sometimes get, you know, drink alcohol, and, you know, they didn't like if he, you know, gave them a hug or gave them a kiss. And again, I don't know how far it went, but it didn't sound like it went very far. But Disney was scared, and Me Too had just started, and they're like, let's get rid of him. But he was the reason why Pixar was so successful. And as soon as he left, went downhill, because again, they didn't care. It's like all they promoted the guy that did Monsters, Inc. to be the new head of Pixar. And he did do Inside Out, which I'm not a fan of. And I know a lot of people like it.
I did like the two Monster, Inc. movies. But
I did, too. I liked the Monsters University, too.
Yeah.
But they promoted him to be the new John Lasseter. And from what I read, like, I guess it was when Lightyear came out. And then when was the other Pixar movie that came out and sucked?
No, there was, I think the trouble started with The Good Dinosaur.
Well, yeah, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I don't think that took off.
But Lasseter was still around when The Good Dinosaur came out.
Was he? I thought he was gone by then.
No, he was still, his hands are on that one. But no, I remember like reading an interview saying that, well, the problem is people didn't understand Lightyear. And then again, they blame COVID. You know, that's why it didn't do well. And then another Pixar movie came out and it didn't do well. And they kept saying the same thing, you know, that it's just that people don't understand our pictures. If people don't understand our pictures, you know, their pictures, then there's a problem with your picture. You know, it shouldn't be, you don't have to have like a degree to understand an animated movie. And like what Disney got and what Warner Brothers got back in the day is that you can make cartoons for kids, and you can also make them for adults. With both can enjoy them at the same time, you know, where it's an event for the family to go and enjoy them. You know, again, they don't, like Bugs Bunny never preached to anybody, you know, he just was very funny. And that's what Disney seems to be losing, is that they find it more important to preach and to change the way people think. Where
make it, money.
And it's just dividing us. Like, again, I liked Soul. The only thing that I didn't like about Soul, I love the human aspect of it. Like him being a teacher and him playing the piano. And I didn't like the parts when he died and he was in like limbo or wherever he was. I just didn't like the design of the people. But I would have liked it more if it focused on him as a teacher and him as a piano player and, you know, and wanting to be in a jazz band and all that stuff.
But the thing is, it wasn't a story for kids.
Yeah, it was about death. And
you know,
pretty much like your...
Well, you can say that about... You can say that. Well, what about Up?
Well, Up... Up was more for kids than Soul.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was...
I mean, Up had the first 10 minutes of Up was heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Well, Disney, look at Finding Nemo, the first 10 minutes of Finding Nemo.
No, I didn't. No, I don't think anything in a Pixar movie hit me as hard as the first 10 minutes of Up. Except when they were going to, the toys were all going to be melted in Toy Story.
Yeah. 3. She had it coming, though. You know,
who?
Ellie.
Oh, good grief!
No, I'm not. I'm saying that she's a bad person, but you know,
she had it.
Once you reach a certain age, you know, you can't live forever. When I say she had it coming, it's just that, you know, that's what I mean. Is that we're not going to live forever. And she was up there. Carla was up there. It's amazing that Carl lasted as long as he did. I guess it'd be a short move if they both died at the beginning.
Yeah, I think it would be a kind of a pointless movie. The house would have been wrecked. And the Cub Scout would have just gone on to the next house.
I was so pissed. I think it was Lightyear. When Lightyear came out, they released a short, and it was Carl's date. And it was all about Carl going on a date. And I'm like, nobody wants to see this. It's like they had the perfect relationship, Carl and Ellie. You know, it's like, who wants to see?
Yeah, but she had it coming.
Well, she did, you know. No, I liked Ellie. I did like her. But my point was, we're all going to die at one point. And I think Ellie lived a nice, fulfilling life. Like, what was she, 85 when she died?
I don't think they said how old she was, but
I don't know. I'm just assuming just by looking at her, you know. It's like she had trouble walking up those hills after a while. You know, like, I wouldn't say she was in her 70s, you know, but, and then Carl must have been like 90, you know.
No idea.
No idea. Yeah.
Anyway. So what was my point? What was our point?
I don't know. What, you didn't like the date, Carl's date.
Well, we were talking about that they need to make movies more for kids. Like I love the Despicable Me movies. And even the Minion movies, I think, are fun, you know?
I love the Minions.
I like the Minions. I think a straight movie of the Minions is too much Minion.
It is.
No, I love Minions.
They're still popular, though. But, yeah, I like the first Minions movie. I thought that was pretty good. The second one, I think, a little too much. Well, they had Gru in it. He was a younger version of him. But anyway, but people still like that. Those movies make $1 billion, which Disney should be making, you know. Yeah. And again, this was another movie that came out during COVID. But it's like, for some reason, COVID only affected the Disney animators or the audiences that went to go see Pixar. It didn't affect, what was it? Is it Universal that does?
Illumination.
Yeah. All right, last story. So the British Film Institute put a trigger warning before old James Bond films that it may cause offense to modern audiences. And I kind of laughed. It was mostly the Sean Connery ones. And, you know, and I recently watched some of the Sean Connery ones, and they were good. But, like, they had a particular problem with Goldfinger, how Sean Connery treated Pussy Galore. That, you know, well, they were both doing karate. And at some point, she flipped James Bond in the barn. And then he flips her. And then he gets on top of her, and he, instead of like fighting her, he kisses her, and then eventually she succumbs to his manliness. And
that's what James Bond does.
Yeah, that was the 60s. That's what he used to do, you know. So they felt the need that they need to put a trigger warning that that's not right. It should have never been like that. Back in the 60s.
Then I need a trigger warning for the deleted scene of Miss Marvel.
Very good, Fredra.
Like, are you kidding me? Over a kiss from James Fredra, Bond?
You've echoed out on your mic there.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit. You gotta, like, get off your pillow.
No. Tired. Almost 11.
Well, we're almost done. But she didn't
give that's ridiculous. A trigger warning for James Bond.
But Pussy did not give content to James Bond. And that's the problem that they're having.
No, I understand exactly that. Neither did Ms. Marvel. I'm not going to let that go now. Like, now I got to go watch it, and it'll probably piss me off even more.
And so the other thing, I watched Goldfinger like 3 days ago. It's an awesome movie. I think it's my favorite Sean Connery James Bond movie. And they had a problem with Oddjob, who is the Korean bodyguard of Goldfinger with the hat that chops people's heads off, the derby, you know? So I was like, what could they possibly have a problem with him? And I didn't realize this, but, you know, he's a mute in that. So, like, when they're playing golf and they're looking for Goldfinger's ball, Oddjob drops a ball out of his pant leg, and he goes, ah, you know. So anytime he talks, he says, ah, or any points. So he can't speak. And so they felt that that was offensive. That's basically implying that anyone that has a handicap is a bad person. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
He was a bad person.
No, but they're saying anyone
that chopped people's heads off. He hid in closets and trains so he could jump out and attack people. He was he cheats at golf.
I mean, I could see the implication of if you have a disability of any kind, then you're stupid. Then you're like, you know, you can't even make or form words. So it really puts them into this kind of inferior complex. I could see that as being insulting, because that's true. Not everyone that's mute is going to sound like that. Some can formulate sentences and it just has a different tone. So I can see that as being insulting, but it's also your perception. Why? How in 2024, with literally a computer in your hand that you can go back and understand that was the 60s and the 70s, and that was their understanding of people with disabilities, because they were just putting it for this film. Like, why are you associating it with every single person that has a disability? Like, that's, I think, more the question that I have, that why are you trying to assume that is what the director and the executive director and the producers and everybody was doing at that time, when you haven't even had a conversation with that crew. You just associate that that's what it is. The same thing with Marilyn Monroe. You know, they all said that, oh, Marilyn Monroe was dumb. Yeah, but if you do documentaries and you research about Marilyn Monroe, which I did after that really dark movie that I should just not have watched at all. That messed me up.
Anna de Armas, she was good as Marilyn, but good
Lord. She was perfect, but it was...
so dark.
Yeah, if anybody's hearing this, don't watch it. Please don't. I'm sorry. This is too dark. But I had not known that she had attempted to do live theater because the media did portray her in a certain way that people thought she was dumb, but she wasn't. So it's also very... like your perception of things, you know? It's like what you're willing to fall for. Even Sean Connery, you know, he's portraying James Bond as a character during that time, but that's not, you know, that's not Sean Connery, but then they're going to condemn even the actor himself for that behavior.
Well, he said several times, like, in the press, that he thinks that every now and then a woman needs a good slap, you know, and he got a lot of hate from that. At some point, I'm sure they're going to try to cancel him completely. We need to get rid of...
You can say that, but I also think a man needs a slap in the face every now and then too. You know,
I mean, equality, honestly, baby.
That's the beauty of equality.
I would never slap a woman. You know, for him to say that, I think again it was a sign of the times. You know, like we've progressed to the point where we don't say stuff like that.
Yes, we have evolved somewhat over the last.
But that doesn't mean 40 years. He's an evil person and we shouldn't watch any of his movies.
Yeah, but I'm also saying I'm also insinuating too that when you say that was the times, but you can't associate that every man during that time behaved that way with women. And that's what I think is also being attempted here and making these trigger warnings and these agendas is that they're insinuating that everybody in the 50s was like this. Everybody in the 60s was like, no, they weren't, because there were many people that were unconventional and thought differently and did different behavior. That's why we are where we are now, obviously, because it didn't stick around. We did evolve.
It's just a situation too, like with Odd Job. It's one person having a problem with it, bringing it up, making it a major problem. And again, like the woke people that are behind the James Bond films are like, yes, we need to do something about it. We need to virtue signal that this is wrong and that this will forever be wrong and be corrected going forward. Because they did that too, where apparently someone complained with the last James Bond movie. The guy who played Freddie Mercury in the Queen movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bohemian Rhapsody. So he played the villain in No Time. Is it No Time to Die? Yeah. And he was scarred. His whole face was scarred because they think that he was involved with acid or some fire or whatever. And so I think some kid complained, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm scarred. And it kind of bothered me that he was the villain. And they made an announcement that, like, from now on, there will never be a villain that's disfigured in a James Bond film. It's like, come on. One little kid has a problem with it, you know, and you have to like go forward from now on that, you know, we can't show Blofeld can't have a scar anymore or whoever else is, what's the same, Jaws can't have metal teeth because.
That was his whole shtick.
Yeah. It's like, I have braces and everybody calls me Jaws. Like, all right, from now on, we're going to have to put a trigger warning on that. Just because Jaws has metal teeth, it's not the same as braces. It's not trying to straighten his teeth. The actor was really a nice person. You know, it's just people are just getting soft. We do need an alien invasion, you know, just to bring people together and strengthen up the strong ones and get rid of the weak ones, you know.
Aliens are already here. They don't need to invade.
Oh yeah, I keep seeing it. They're coming. Well, apparently, well, again, it's like, well, Jack. Well, Jack believes in Bigfoot, but like he questions aliens.
No, I do not question that there is life out there, because the odds are, if it happened here, somewhere in the billions and billions of stars, there has to be life somewhere. I just don't know how it could possibly be getting here and visiting us. And if they could get here and they've been visiting us as long as they have been, that they're not revealing themselves.
Well,
for better or for worse.
I think, again, like you were more saying the alien invasion you were laughing at, you know, and us coming together as a world.
Yes, that's what I was laughing at. Between old ladies having it coming, we're looking for an alien invasion to.
But it's true.
To, you know, what's the word I'm thinking?
Team Earth.
Call the week out of the gene pool, and I don't know what else. I don't know what you're coming up with next.
It's evolution. But no, that guy David Gresh. I don't know if you've heard of him in the news. He's the guy that was in the military. He's like spilling all the beans, apparently, that the military has been hiding a lot of things about alien life and UFO, you know, being seen here, and that we have, like, we've been, what is it, reverse engineering some of their stuff. So apparently, you know, I've listened to him on Rogan. I think he said that the problem, the reason why the government hasn't announced alien life exists and all that is because some companies benefited from the reverse engineering. Like, maybe, I'm not saying that they did, maybe Boeing, maybe the government made a deal with them. And
here it comes. Hunter Biden is working with the aliens. That's why he's gotten away with everything. Here it comes.
No, I didn't say that.
It's coming.
No, it's not. I don't know if he's associated with Boeing, but whatever. They're saying that there's going to be, you know, that a lot of companies, it's going to cause a lot of problems because it's going to seem like the government only worked with a certain group of industries instead of all of them, and that there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. That's what I heard was said. I don't know if it's true, but it sounds so outlandish that I could see something like that happening. It's fun, though. I do watch stuff, and like, did you see the video of that alien that was in Miami?
No.
The alien in Miami?
Oh, it was big news. See, you guys never watch anything. You never watch anything cool. You know, you're just interested in, like, Ukrainian war and what's going over. And
are you kidding? I love Paranormal Caught on Tape, but I don't remember an alien running around Florida.
Yeah, this video of like some alien in a Miami mall, and there were hundreds of cop cars out there, and you know, it's weird. I don't know. It looks like CGI to me.
But the Black Friday sales are irresistible.
If you go on YouTube and you just look for aliens, it's just so funny.
Alien, you know, Miami. Okay.
Like the videos that no, any videos that pop up. Like I told you about the aliens that are in, where is it? Is it not in Peru? Maybe it's in Brazil or something like that. Like some like, you know, South American place.
That the reporter who showed the bodies or something.
No, not that one. No, it's the one where, you know, this people in like this village, like they're kind of, you know, segregated from, you know, modern technology and all that. Like they're kind of like a tribe. And apparently they've been getting attacked by aliens, like almost nightly, you know. And then the government came out and said that they aren't aliens. They're just, you know,
misunderstood.
They're just, you know, they're basically pirates looking for natural resources that are in that land, and they're using jetpacks. It's like, and like the excuse sounded worse than it being aliens. It's like they're flying around in jetpacks. These guys, how come we're not flying around in jetpacks?
Probably I saw my hoverboard.
Anyway, it's fun. I still like watching Bigfoot stuff and alien stuff. How do we get into this thing? We were talking about James Bond. James Bond had a jetpack. That's pretty cool. Didn't go too far. All right, I guess we'll just...
Okay.
We'll end it. Let's wrap this one up, people. So, Jack,
thanks for joining us on Conspiracies, Season 10, Episode 2.
Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
And you can follow me on Instagram or send a friend request on Facebook. Just let me know that it's from Nerd Alert, or you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want...
Shout out to Chris Callen, too.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. That was a very nice email you sent. Really appreciate the words that you said. And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send a friend request to Facebook. And like I said, if you can, let the powers that be, let them know if you like our show or you don't like our show. Would be nice. Also, I'm on the podcast Roasted Junk. And what did we do last week? We did Speed. A lot of people have been watching that video. You look like that haircut, Fedra. You look a little bit like Sandra Bullock.
Oh, I love that movie. She looked great.
Yeah, she was very cute in that movie. We all liked it. You know, it was a shocker. I hadn't seen it in a while, but it's still a fun movie.
That was a fun movie.
And Keanu is so cute. Oh my god.
Well, I didn't see it that way. but it was nice though. There's no mention of strap-ons or anything. Mm-hmm. Next week we're doing, or is it in a couple of weeks we're doing Pulp Fiction.
Well, that should be a fun episode.
That's my favorite movie. That and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Those are my two favorite movies. Maybe Superman the movie. Top three somewhere. I guess with that, this will be the end of WWNT Nerd Alert Season 10, Episode 2. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all. Don't let the aliens get you.
Good night.
Night.